economics, some of the themes of yet another Republican debate. Are you weary of all this debating, or is it enlightening? Kate Delaney, America Tonight. We're going to zig and zag in a few different places, so let's go right to Vegas. Right now, one of the odds-on favorites to maybe snag the Republican nomination, if he can keep up his darling status, would be Herman Cain. In all the polls, he either leads or he's tied right now with Mitt Romney. But we've seen this act before where Rick Perry was inflated and got big numbers and then he crashed back down to earth. And what about everybody else who says Ron Paul doesn't come around that turn and suddenly gain new followers? Here's what Herman Cain had to say about immigration.
We must shut the back door so people can come in the front door. Secondly, promote the existing path to citizenship by cleaning up the bureaucracy in Washington, D.C.
All right, shut the back door. I love the bumper sticker stuff. Shut the back door so they can come in the front door. He has a point there. I say it all the time. Many of you know it, as some of you have come through the front door. Many of us, of course, we're a nation of immigrants. Parents that, not parents, probably great-great-great-grandparents that came in through Ellis Island and whatnot. And, of course, others currently that have waited for a long time and finally got their chance and came through. And it is very unfair, this system of turning a blind eye on illegal immigrants that are crawling in so many of our suburbs and so many areas beyond the border states even, that it has crippled some of the local economies. I mean, the facts are the facts. You can't lie. Then what happens is you get beat up. I'll get some nasty emails, and that's cool. Bring them on, that I am a bigot or how can I think that way or whatever reasons. But I traveled with the Border Patrol for a week. I saw the things that happen. And to be honest, there are wonderful people in Mexico that just want a leg up, that can't make anything in that third world country because, of course, Felipe Calderon, the Mexican president, and the rest of his cronies, what it is they have class warfare. They don't care about, I believe, the poor people in that country because there is definitely lines that are drawn, the haves and the have-nots. And so what is the biggest boon to their economy? It's us. They know that. They'll say that. Calderon will say that, and yet he'll attack the United States in the same breath. So, yes, there are people that are coming over who have cousins and aunts and other relatives that are making a living as housekeepers, working in fields and doing the so-called jobs that Americans don't want to do. And what it really is the companies, and we all know this, it's not something new that I'm telling you, the companies got better labor. Better labor in the sense because it was cheaper. So they got cheaper labor for people who wanted to come over who had no way to make a living. And they will come, show up, do the jobs, and leave. Come, show up, do the jobs, and leave. But the bottom line is, then you have the coyotes who take advantage of the people who want to come over. Half of them end up dead or raped or who knows what. They have what they call rape trees that are along that Arizona, some of the more Spartan areas in Arizona. For the women that are coming over, the things that are happening to them, people stuffed in trucks where they're suffocating and can't survive and never make it to their destination, but have paid a bloody fortune to get there, money they, of course, did not have and had to raise for years. So there are other problems on all sides of this. But the biggest thing is we missed the boat here. Because there were laws decades ago that were very clear on illegal immigration and hiring illegal immigrants. There were no jobs. You would not get the massive crossings that we've gotten over the years. And what do you do when you're the mayor, the city council of a local government, and you're being drained? You can't afford to continue to hold up the system any longer. Because of what now has happened to your city, overrun with people who are not in the country legally, and changing the school system, changing the hospitals because the hospitals increase some of what they're charging the patients, which they don't need an excuse for that, but because they have to handle an exorbitant amount of illegals who come in with no insurance through the emergency room. It's a sad, sick situation. Nobody should, no doctor, no admitting person should have to make any kind of decisions on that, granted. And the reason is because the people that were in charge didn't do their jobs. They didn't do their jobs. The ICE guys didn't do their jobs in the past, and this is what we got. Once again, it's the typical Washington thing, and we know this. It's the reaction versus the action. If it had been nipped in the bud a couple of decades ago, we wouldn't be this far down in the hole because of it. And trust me, it's very costly. So what do? So while this is happening, you have the former Mexican president, Vicente Fox, who became unglued and lashed out at the Republicans who are running, who are trying to get the presidential nomination for the party. And why, of course, in tackling the issue of immigration, because everybody was pretty much tough on immigration. Everybody was pretty much, you know, forget it. And this is on the heels of the electric fence comment. And, of course, Vicente Fox says, look at this guy decrying publicly that he put electric wire on top of the fence 20 meters high so that immigrants die. I mean, it's incredible. This is what Fox says. He says, it's incredible. It's nonsense what's going on with the oldest democracy in the world. And, of course, he's talking about, again, what Herman Cain said during a campaign appearance with Sheriff Joe Arpaio in Maricopa County in Arizona on Monday. And in that appearance, Cain walked back his apology for calling an electrified fence on the Mexican border, calling for it that would kill anyone who tried to climb over. He said, you know, it might be electrified. I'm not trying to walk away from that. I just don't want to offend anyone. It was a joke to the extent in the context of the views of the speech. But in terms of what we need to do, this is what he took back. He said, I fully intend to do so because I'm more sensitive to our citizens being hurt. Too late, though. Once it's out there, it's out there. So really what you have is people dancing around the issue. That was a big theme in this last debate. And that's not probably the only time we're going to hear it anyway with the Republicans. Ultimately, when there's just one, when there's the Republican who's chosen to run for president, and they go up against Obama, there could be an issue in the handful of debates that may occur. But it won't be the main one. It's still absolutely going to be the economy. All right, coming up on the flip side, odds and ends, some other things that happen around the nation. That's next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338, utopiasilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Beyond compare, with flaming locks of auburn hair, with ivory skin and eyes of emerald green. Your smile is like a breath of spring, your voice is soft like summer rain, and I cannot compete with you, Jolene. He talks about you in his sleep, and there's nothing I can do to keep from crying when he calls your name, Jolene.
All right, believe it or not, some other things happened besides the debate. Yep. How about this? Social Security is going to hand out first bumps since 2009. Increase in benefits expected to go to about 3.5%. Yeah, for people that are, quotes, relying on Social Security, the cost of living increase, it's been a rough ride for the past 2 years, and I know there's some people listening to the show. You've called and talked about it. Unfortunately, with everything else going up, and as much as we can say, well, we shouldn't rely on that, or, you know, Social Security benefits, I mean, this is the problem, the system has to be overhauled. Absolutely, we can look at all those things. But if somebody their entire life paid in, they should get their money. Sorry. If you paid in your entire life, then there was money taken out your entire life. Yes, come on, give me a break here. So it's going to be about 3.5%. So 55 million beneficiaries will find out for sure on Wednesday, big day, when a government inflation measure determines what the annual cost of living adjustment is, because there hasn't been one. Congress adopted it in the 70s, and there's always been an annual benefit increase averaging about 4.2%, but there wasn't one in 2010 or 2011 because inflation was too low. But that doesn't help the people who are relying on it, the disabled people, et cetera, who see that their retirement accounts have gone away. Home values have dropped. It's been terrible economic weakness. It's awful time for those people. Every single dollar, no joke, counts. Monthly Social Security payments average about $1,082, or that comes to $13,000 a year. So a 3%, a 3.5% increase, if that's what it is, would be $38 a month. Hey, $38 a month. That'll buy you a couple of lunches, right? Or almost $500 a year. Most retirees rely on Social Security for a majority of their income. So, the, you know, if we want to look at it, if we want to go a step further, the cost of living increase would boost, would give a boost to consumer spending, right? Probably they say $25 billion in government support, 0.2% more economic growth if they were to spend it all. So then if you were to do a comparison, and this was released by Moody's, if you were to do a comparison, last year's percentage point cut in Social Security payroll taxes was worth $115 billion to households across the U.S. So it's not any kind of a, I mean, it's not any kind of a magic potion that's going to ail what's killing the economy, but certainly it would be positive for somebody on a fixed income, and no matter what. I mean, that gets you a tank of gas, whatever it is, if you wanted to break it down. And especially since there hasn't been one. Only twice since 1975 and the past 2 years, there hasn't been a cost of living increase because of where we are. So we'll see. You know, if you look at average gasoline prices, $4 a gallon in 2008, but do you believe it? In January 2009, remember they were below $2. The national average now, though, is 3.46 cents a gallon or 47 cents a gallon. So it'll make a difference. So for those of you listening to me who are in that situation, should see a cost of living increase, probably that 3.5%. If that's the number that's being circulated, it's almost definitely the number that's probably going to be out there. Now, I think we have Roger Madden in the wings. He's got something on Occupy Wall Street in a second. But Herman Cain's 999 tax plan, you know, they were talking about this. They say that the managers of private equity funds, one of the certainly most lucrative financial structures on Wall Street, would pay on average an income tax rate of about 6%. That's because now everybody's looking at 999, right? So that story comes out. Do you know that's, of course, less than the 9% rate that most workers would pay? And what a drop off that is. So that wouldn't sit well with most people if they realize that, you're managing an equity fund. Well, guess what? The good news for you is you want Herman Cain in there, 6%. But everybody else, the guy sweeping the street, he's getting 9. You're getting 6. Here's Roger Madden.
If the Occupy Wall Street protest took place in another time, Barack Obama would be leading the pack. That shouldn't be a big surprise. This is Roger Madden, and this is what I think. In a recent article in the Wall Street Journal, Douglas Schoen, Democratic Party pollster, describes a large majority of the Occupy Wall Street protesters, regardless of age and socioeconomic status or education, as having, quote, a deep commitment to left-wing policies, opposition to free market capitalism and support for radical redistribution of wealth, intense regulation of the private sector, and protectionist policies to keep American jobs from going overseas, unquote. President Obama is now in campaign mode, so it's not too difficult to get an idea what this guy is all about. His continuing attack on millionaires and billionaires demanding that their taxes must be raised not necessarily to place more money into government coffers, but for reasons having to do with that enigmatic concept of social justice. Social justice is nothing more than a translation of the socialist belief expressed by the Occupy Wall Street crowd that 99% of the American people are getting royally hosed by 1% of the population. On the campaign trail, President Obama is fairly transparent in expressing his support for radical redistribution of wealth and being uncomfortable with free market capitalism. Of course, other than when he is the beneficiary, either in campaign contributions from investment bankers and blue chip corporations doing business with China, or when he is the recipient of a publisher's multi-million dollar advance for that book he intends to write as soon as he leaves the presidency. By the way, did you see Barry Obama in Zuccotti Park yesterday? with lots of hair, a floppy hat, and a cigarette dangling from his lips, holding a sign that said, "Thank you, George." George Soros, that is. This is Roger Madden, and that's what I think.
A little bit of sarcasm there at the end of Roger's piece, talking about Obama. Another thing that happened, speaking of the president, is he is on the road. His teleprompter was ripped off. Yeah. A local NBC affiliate in Richmond, Virginia said that thieves stole a truck carrying hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of equipment that actually travels with the prez, including his teleprompter. So they recovered the truck on Monday. How did they recover the truck is what I want to know. What idiot steals the president's truck? You don't think they're going to be searching high and low for that? Maybe they didn't realize that it was the president's truck. The breakdown of no teleprompter would not be good for this president. So here's the thing. The truck was parked at the Virginia Center Commons Courtyard Marriott. That's where the president was in Virginia. And there's about $200,000 worth of sound equipment and podiums and the presidential seal and, you know, all that kind of stuff. They recovered the truck in a Holiday Inn Express near the airport. So I guess the good news is they got the truck, but bye-bye teleprompter. So what do you do? Call the local affiliate. Please, we're in desperate need here. The president needs a teleprompter. Do you have one we can borrow? And usually the teleprompters in studios are hooked right on behind the camera, so a little bit different than the kind that he's using, that a lot of speech makers, frankly, especially if it's a long speech, give. And it's almost, it is invisible. When you have a camera on it, you can't even see it. But the president or whoever is giving the speech, if other people use that kind of an apparatus, you just look out and you see the words, and it's actually pretty easy to read. Hey, coming up here on America Tonight, we have another version of We Can Count. It's all about the numbers. Can you imagine if you got a phone bill, a cell phone bill, which if you're, depending on whatever plan you're on, but can you imagine if you got a cell phone bill for more than $200,000? That's part of We Can Count coming up.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ali C. Why Ali C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ali C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ali C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ali C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ali C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali C. For more information and to order Ali C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali C today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA. But Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Do you live where ice storms, blizzards, tornadoes, floods, earthquakes, or hurricanes occur? Who doesn't? Well, most of us do, and when they occur, one of the first things to happen is the power goes out. When Hurricane Irene hit, over 5 million homes were without power. Just having light around the house becomes very important. Arm yourself with the new 50-hour emergency candle in a can. Just pull the pop-top lid. The matches are safe inside and light up the candle for 50 hours of continuous light. The candle and matches are together when you need them the most. Emergency light that has an indefinite shelf life, always ready and won't go dead like batteries. 50-hour emergency candles are $7.95 each or four for $28. Call toll-free 1-855-485-8555, 855-485-8555, or order online at candlesincans.com. One more time, that's 855-485-8555, or visit us at candlesincans.com.
Topping weekend count. Remember I told you about that cell phone bill, 200,000. Ugh, can you imagine? I have AT&T. I'd be on the phone with them forever. Anytime there's a problem, they apologize a million times, but it takes forever for them to fix whatever the problem is. No offense to anybody who might be listening that works for AT&T, but a woman from South Florida opens her cell phone bill, is expecting what the normal amount is. It said she owed, to be specific, $201,000. Selena Ahrens has her two brothers on her plan. They are deaf. They can't speak. So they communicate by texting. Normally, not a big deal. She has a data plan that costs about $175, right? But her brother spent 2 weeks in Canada, and Ahrens never changed to an international plan. So her brother sent over 2,000 texts and downloaded videos, sometimes racking up 2,000 in data charges. And she called, and T-Mobile told her that the bill was correct. So they did. She did a smart thing. She called a local Miami television station because I'm sure she knew it would be a shocking story, and it's perfect. They could get video of it, and this could lead the news. A woman gets a $201,000 bill. So the station contacted T-Mobile, and they cut the bill to $2,500 and gave her 6 months to pay it. Oh, what a bummer. Matt, what's the highest bill that you've ever gotten?
I actually had a similar thing where it was a couple hundred dollars because of some roaming charges, but I was able to get it knocked down.
So they took a lot of it off. You still had to pay some, but not the whole thing.
Right. I think they, like, cut it in half for me.
Oh.
But and then after that, I went to kind of a plan where it could never happen. I had unlimited text, and then because I think I had text charges and some roaming charges. So, yeah, it got all sorted out. So now I will never have that happen.
Yeah, that's important. It's a good reminder to people. You check your check those roaming charges and stuff. I think some folks forget about that. That happened to me, but it wasn't for very much money. I had a different service. I think I had another company, and it wasn't. I have an iPhone now. It was a different one, and I didn't realize it. And I know what it was. I didn't text people, but people were texting me, and I was being charged for that. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm getting charged for people texting me. People, don't text me anymore. I don't have that plan. So then I remedied the situation, and of course now texting, as it turns out, is so much easier, isn't it? You don't have to be on the phone all day long. So actually, it's my favorite way at times to communicate because, you know, frankly, you can get more done. That's the thing. You can get more done. Whatever it is that you're working on, you're not knocked off of that. But that's, man, that is crazy. How about this story? Speaking of phones, for a second, let's go to this one. There's an iPhone app that where you can track, you know, you can track people, you can track your spouse. And a New York man claims online that he tracked his wife with another man. Oh, that would be a serious mistake, wouldn't it? The Apple released its new operating system to go with its iPhone 4S, which one of my friends has. And I just happened to see the phone is pretty amazing what it can do. And it's got a new app called Find My Friends. So you can track and meet up with people. And if they agree, you can see their locations on a map on your screen. Only you guys can see it. So that's what happened. This guy had that. And he said, I'm divorcing my wife thanks to iPhone 4S and Find My Friends. I got my wife a new 4S. I loaded up Find My Friends without her knowing. She told me she was with her friends in the East Village. I was suspicious about her meeting this guy who lives uptown, and lo and behold, I tracked her right to it, and there she was. So I've got screenshots, and I'll be at the lawyer's office, and I'll be showing them to the lawyer. Ooh, Apple, a new way to divorce your spouse and have the evidence. Man, I don't know. I don't like the idea of the tracking thing. I don't like the tracking thing. It's like the people that have the Android and they get on Facebook and you'll see all of where they are. We had Robert Siciliano on last week, who is the ultimate guru, I think, when it comes to security systems. And we can't even keep up with all the viruses and all the other nonsense, for goodness sake. And to have a tracking system in your Android where you're constantly telling people where you are, he said he thought it was incredibly naive and incredibly dangerous to do that. But, you know, some people think it's cool because then you know, hey, there's my buddy. He just was at that restaurant, or he checked in here, or, you know, did whatever, and I know exactly where he is. All right, let's move on to this one. St. Louis, how about this? Occupy St. Louis. You know, there's Occupy and just put the city after it. I always say that, right? I mean, every day something new bubbles up. But Occupy St. Louis is going to show a commercial-free World Series on a big screen at its campsite. Yes. So if you don't like commercials, you're in St. Louis, you want to hang out with the Occupy people, they say that's what they're doing. They're going to stream the message against the economic inequalities between innings. How about that? About 25 to 100, there's your number. Demonstrators have been camped out there since the beginning of the month at the plaza. It's right near that Gateway Arch. It's just a few blocks from Busch Stadium. Cops have arrested about 10 people or so for curfew violations, but pretty much a small amount of people. It's pretty peaceful. They're not having a big problem in St. Louis. It's nothing like what they're seeing in New York. They're calling the Wall Street people, the Occupy Wall Street. It's different because, you know, massive city, and of course there is a lot of people that are protesting, the amount is huge, where you have hundreds and hundreds. Not in the very beginning, but as it's grown, that's what's happened. More people have showed up. All right, how about this about the three California Marines that had to be discharged after faking marriages? Boy, I'll tell you, they'll get you any way they can. So what happened was they got discharged for bad conduct after they admitted that they faked their marriages to get housing allowances. They pled guilty to stealing from the government through a special court martial. And as a result, what they did when they were claiming to be married, they got a $1,200 monthly housing stipend. That's what you get for married Marines to live off base. And that's kind of risky, isn't it? Because they get discharged, but they also face $5,000 in fines. And one of them has to serve 3 months confinement. In the scheme, Corporal Ashley Weiss, who is a lesbian, and her girlfriend, civilian Jamie Murphy, pretended to be married to two male Marines, a Corporal Jeremiah Griffin and Corporal Joseph Gardner. So all of them had gotten in trouble for this, obviously. And it was fake. So they were taking money month after month after month. And somebody squealed, and that's how they found them out. See, loose lips sink ships, even in the military, because people can't help it. They start to brag about whatever it is they're getting over on somebody, and that's what happened. There was a whole group of them, so once they started to talk, somebody went and decided to out them, so to speak. Yeah. All right, here's another one for you. There's an actress that's suing Amazon for revealing her age on a film database. Wow, I wonder if you could win that suit because, boy, dates, especially when you're an actor, it's easy to go back in archives and I think find that. But she's filing a $1 million lawsuit, so this is serious money she can win. The actress who asked for identity to be masked is referred to only as Jane Doe, and she's alleging fraud, breach of contract, violation of her private life, all that sort of stuff. Since 2003, her profile has been available on the Internet Movie Database, IMDb, which is owned by Amazon, when she joined the site as an unknown actress. In 2008, to increase her exposure, she subscribed to the IMDb Pro, which gives insider information to paying clients. To join that service, she had to hand over her credit card details. So that's what happened. In the entertainment industry is what her lawyer is saying. If one is perceived to be over the hill, approaching 40, it is nearly impossible for the up-and-coming actress types to get work. I wonder who it is. See, now it's like a guessing game. The actress lives in Texas. And she thinks that the details of her age were uncovered by doing record searches using her credit card information and just asked for her, you know, the site to remove her age from her profile, but they say they won't do it. Ooh. So once she complained, they wouldn't even do it. See, that's the thing. Sometimes you get on these sites and you give them too much information. Yeah. All right, hang with us. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to jump back to politics for a minute. Stay with us.
What's been the problem with phone companies? High prices and contracts that lock you in for 2 years minimum. Not FreedomTelephones.com. Freedom Telephones are designed around the concept and reality of patriotism, loyalty, and privacy. With FreedomTelephones.com, there are no contracts, no credit checks, and no social security numbers required. That's why our name is FreedomTelephones.com. Finally, residential, mobile, and business telephones and plans that are private and never lock you into a long-term contract. Want a low price? Residential and business plans start at only $14.99, and mobile plans start at just $39.99. Plus, every month you pay your bill, FreedomTelephones.com contributes to your favorite GCN programs. Don't wait. Support the cause and get the highest quality and the lowest prices by calling 1-800-600-5553. That's 800-600-5553. FreedomTelephones.com. Portable. Private. Perfect.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com. Or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Ready for cold and flu season? Now's the time to get ready and save during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Stock up on powerful, natural flu fighters like olive leaf extract, elderberry power, and grapefruit seed liquid. Don't forget your vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, on sale for only $9. And remember, HerbalHealer.com offers eFoods Global products, delicious, premium, storable foods that contain no MSG, no trans fats, no GMO, and have a 25-year shelf life. Click the eFoods link on HerbalHealer.com and try eFoods storable meals for free. Bookmark HerbalHealer.com, then experience live chat, correspondence courses, and sign up for our free newsletter. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Said was on a bus trip to key states, Virginia and North Carolina. So while most of the Republicans, except for John Huntsman, were all gathered in Las Vegas, Nevada, a different story for the press. He was out pumping his Jobs Act in two states that he won, but that could easily go in a different direction. And what's interesting is, and you'll have to listen closely here, but there's two things that will come out of this. There's two things that he focused on. One, of course, really, really wanting to work with the Republicans that, hey, listen, I'm trying to do what I can do. So I want all of y'all to know that I'm doing everything I can to work with the other side. And also that he's the guy in the Oval Office, so he's tired of people accusing him of campaigning. Take a listen.
I just want to be clear. I want desperately to work with Republicans on ways to create jobs right now. I'm not the Democratic president or Republican president. I'm the president.
That's true. You can rely on that. When you're the guy who is at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, you can say, listen, this is my job. What do you want me to do? I'm the guy in charge. So forget about it. By the way, the president is on his way back to Washington, D.C. I guess that he'll take a few more bus trips in this non-campaign mode that he's in to push a $445 billion Jobs Act that I think everyone knew from the get-go certainly was not going to pass in any whole form anyway. But now they're talking about pieces of it. So, you know, the good news for the president is, I guess, that the Republicans would probably take some of the Jobs Act, a very small amount, but some of the Jobs Act, and pass it. The problem is, at the heart and soul of what he is proposing, is you're talking about more money, more deficit, number one. You're talking about specific jobs that are interstructural, but that's not the right word I'm using here. It's the shovel jobs. It's the shovel jobs that we're talking about, whether it's streets, roads, that kind of stuff, all focused on that infrastructure, infrastructure jobs. And then, of course, the teaching jobs. And unfairly, there have been plenty of teachers who have lost their jobs, but the meat and potato people across the country don't all fall into that category. In fact, a lot don't. So they're not part of what this $445 billion would represent. And then what is the other problem with this? It's catering to the unions. And the Republicans are saying no to that. So what is supposed to happen here is flies in the face of what the Republicans, I think, in any way, shape, or form would work with. Yes, there's some tenets of it that they could glob on to and agree to, but not the basic gist of it. And again, more money being spent as we bleed to death. There's no question, how do you get rid of this debt? You got to cut spending. You have to. You have to cut spending, and you got to cut down the size of government. Jay in Kentucky, hello.
How you doing, Kate?
Good. How about you, buddy?
I really need to weigh in here. The spending report came out. Did you catch that yesterday by chance?
Yes.
It equals out to roughly $100,000 per second under this administration.
Yep.
That just blew me away. He's running around the country still blaming Republicans. Harry Reid voted this bill down. His buddy. Man, I can't. The audacity this man has, I don't see it. He's running around saying that the Republicans just don't understand it. They blocked this bill. He's on the television in an interview last night talking about he's not had bipartisanship since he's been in office. They controlled, the Democrat Party controlled all three branches of the government for the first 2 years.
Yeah.
Jeez, man. As far as these shovel-ready jobs for highways, roads, and so forth, I have one semi-truck. This one semi-truck pays $12,000 in highway use tax, fuel tax, and license plate fees. You multiply that times every truck on the road, these roads should be 24 karat gold. I don't understand where this man's coming from. And these people, when they go to the poll, or when they go to the booths in November next year, they got to think to themselves, are they, their children, their grandchildren, their families, are they better off than they were 4 years ago? Before they make their decision to cast that vote.
That's the problem. That's the problem. It sounds good. In other words, you know this. If you just took the sound bites and when Obama was running and you listened to him, you know, hope and change, baby. Change you can count on. But it's change you couldn't count on because I don't care what eyes you're looking at. Any Democrat worth his salt or her salt listening to what the president has said and what's happened, come on, they see it. They know. They see through this veil because they're not getting even what they voted for.
Well, as far as change goes, I used to walk around with a bunch of $100 bills in my wallet. And now I walk around with that change he's talking about. I'll talk to you
good.
Later, Kate.
All right, JJ, thanks. That was good. Oh, there's a problem here. You guys are funnier than I am these days. Hey, speaking of costing more, mailing a letter. Does anyone mail letters anymore? Oh, what a concept. Mailing a letter is going to cost a penny more next year. How about that? Yep. The U.S. Postal Service announced it's going to increase postage rates on January 22nd. 1 cent, 45 cents, first class mail. That's what it will be. Because they can't raise prices more than the rate of inflation, which is 2.1%, unless they get special permission, and it was turned down last time around. So what does that mean? The post office, of course, lost $8 billion in 2010, and it's probably going to be worse when the final figures are actually released next month. $8 billion. And it's because a lot of it's because of the change in how we do business. All the mail that is not happening. Think about it. I mean, everything was through the mail. Now, whether you're talking about your bills and paying them online, when you're talking about direct mail being dropped, there's not a lot of direct mail anymore. That used to be so big. Now, charities still send things out, and it's hurting them because they're not getting the bump that they usually will get that helps offset that. And then, of course, that's also helpful to the mail, the United States Post Office, to the mail business. And if you watch the tube at all for any length of time, you'll see how they're trying to come up with clever ways to get people to use the United States Postal Service. The flat rate boxes, just to ship it. If it fits, it ships, that kind of stuff. And some other clever little lines that they're using so that more people will actually use the service and not go elsewhere. They're going to cut out that Saturday delivery. You got to figure that. I don't see how they don't. I mean, there again is an example. It's just not working. They have no choice. They have to get back to the black. So they're going to have to cut out Saturday. And who knows what else they're going to have to cut out because they just aren't going to be able to afford to keep going down the same path. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again.
Idiot! It's simple! Watch your language in front of the lady, punk!